This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Good morning. I'm Ann Holliday along with Bob Harris. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Ann.
And as you heard, if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB. You can send us an email at garden@wesb.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, B107, where we are live right now. I'm just checking to make sure. Yep, we're live. So it's B107.5WESB. You can find us there. And the cool thing about email is you can send a picture so Bob can actually see what you're talking about.
Yeah, very helpful.
Okay. So one of the things you're going to be talking about today, Bob, is soil.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know a lot of new gardeners out there.
Before you get started, Bob,
sure.
We have a caller.
Oh, all right.
So let's go to the phone. Good morning. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, I do, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to know when the best time is to cut back azaleas.
Okay. That'll be right after they're done blooming.
Right and, after, okay.
Yeah, and when I say right after, you've got 4 to 6 weeks period of time when they're done blooming to cut them back.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, they're blooming now, so we'll have to do that when.
Yep, wait till they're done.
All right, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Good question.
Yeah.
So I know there's going to be a lot of new gardeners out there. And some of them may be thinking, you know, well, what am I going to do about rototilling with all this wet soil? So I'm going to give you a couple tips here, because you still can prepare your bed and rototill when it's wet. If you tried to go out there right now without any preparation and tried to rototill your garden, you can ruin what they call the tilth of the garden. And you'll see it, the tiller or your shovel, spade, whatever you're doing, will clump it up into big balls because that's the types of soil we have. We all have a little bit of clay in our soil. And when you try to shovel it or rototill it, it clumps it together, packs it into little balls, and that's not good. So what we want to do is for every 10 by 10 area or 100 square feet, you need a whole bale of peat moss. Dry peat moss, and that's a 3 foot cubic bale of peat moss. And if you dump that on top, that'll come to a few inches of peat moss on top of the soil. Now it's nice and dry, and peat moss is excellent for the soil anyhow. Then you can start to till, and that dry peat moss will keep the soil from balling up and clumping on you. So that's one way. Another way is adding mulch, wood chip mulch, cocoa shells, anything like that will help break it up. But I prefer the peat moss because it's going to benefit the soil a lot and benefit when times come where it's too dry. I know this sounds a little weird. Peat moss is going to help dry it up. At the same time, if it gets dry, peat moss is going to help hold moisture.
It's kind of like a miracle amendment.
Yeah, yeah. I know that's one of those things that always kind of bothers me in gardening. It's sometimes hard to explain. You know, when you go buy a plant, they say it needs damp soil, well drained. Now, how do you get both of those? but that's a hint on how to prepare your soil. Just a big bale of peat moss per 100 square feet, and you'll be able to till with no trouble at all. So a couple things to look for with your soil, though. The color of your soil can tell you a lot of things. And if it's a real dark brown, that means there's a lot of organic matter in it, and that is a good thing. Now, if it's a real light brown or tan, that probably means it's all clay, or it's real sandy, and we don't normally have a lot of sand here, so chances are it's all clay, and they'll tell you clay is a bad thing, too. Not necessarily. Even some of the best soil mixes have clay in them because clay is like peat moss. It holds a lot of moisture. But you got to break that clay up. You don't want it a solid light tan. We got to till it or shovel it, break all those balls up. So now if you dig down a little deeper and you start hitting gray soil, what that means is that's still good soil, but it has no air in it.
Oh.
Just like me, if I held my breath long enough, I would turn gray. So that's telling us that that area probably doesn't have good drainage, or the soil has been so packed so hard that all the air has been pushed out of it. So by rototilling it or spading it, you're going to help that get the oxygen back in, and that gray will go away, especially if you add some of the peat moss.
Okay.
Now, worse yet, if it's blue, that's even worse than gray. Blue, and I'm not talking like blue like the sky. You have to, it's kind of a grayish blue, a slate blue.
Okay.
That's really dead soil. So there we're going to have to add not just the peat moss, but if a lot of your soil is that gray-blue color, you may have to do some fertilizing that first year. Now, it's going to change because you're going to spade it or rototill it, and it's going to incorporate that oxygen back into it. So that soil is going to come back to life. But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Everything in gardening takes time.
That's one of the things that's fun about it, is that it's not something that you're just done with.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong thing, and all season you have to work on it.
That's right. Yep. So you learn a lot of patience. You learn to slow down, calm down, because everything in gardening just takes a lot of time.
Okay. I have a question about the blue soil.
Yeah.
Is that basically, or is that mostly like from people who are in yards where people haven't done anything for a while, or can it happen in anybody's?
Yeah, it can happen in anybody's, really. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's usually due to not just no air in that section from being compacted, and no roots going in there penetrating, breaking up, no earthworms going in there and burrowing down. They're a great thing for the lawn, because every time they make the hole, and they can go down a couple feet, every time they make a hole, of course, it lets rainwater in and oxygen in. And that brings that part of the soil to life there. Where was I going with that?
I think you were going on to your next topic.
Okay.
And I interrupted you.
Yeah. So that's about the soils. And you can correct any one of them. By the way, when you are rototilling, a lot of people get over-concerned about rocks in the soil. Again, that can help incorporate a little bit of airspace, so it can let oxygen in. Now, my rule and a lot of landscapers' rules are anything smaller than a half a dollar or a quarter, I always went by a quarter, can leave in the soil. Anything bigger than that, you should try to remove. So you don't have to remove all the rocks, but don't add rocks though either. But if a few of them are there, that's fine. Last week, I talked about how to plant some of the popular vegetable plants. And with that, I want to stress again, no matter how well you do with your garden, how well you plant it and care for it, and how well it grows, if you don't have pollinators there, you're not going to have much. So don't forget, when you are planting all your squash and peppers and tomatoes, and zucchinis, don't forget to add a couple pollinator plants. Now, I prefer the petunia because it puts forth a lot of blossoms, takes up a lot of space. I think I did touch on this last week.
You did talk about petunias, yeah.
But so just a reminder, put a, and they don't have to be right in the garden, but do a pot close to the garden. I prefer to do it right in amongst the plants even. Put a petunia or a few geraniums, something like that. I like petunias, though.
Me too.
So how do you pick out a good plant when you when you go out to purchase your plants. Look for that nice green color throughout every leaf. Now, sometimes the very bottom leaves will not be green. That's no concern because the plant, those first few leaves it puts out. I'll do this with a tomato plant, most popular vegetable plant. Say you're looking at a bunch of tomato plants that are a foot tall. Those bottom leaves will probably be yellow, and that's just nature taking its course. They've done their job. They've they were the first few leaves out. They've collected all the food they can and sent it into the roots of the plant, and now they're wore out.
Okay.
So the plant starts to abandon them. So don't be concerned about those bottom leaves being a little yellow or droopy or falling off. That's okay. It's that top section, especially the very first few leaves. If those are still nice and green, good plant. So look for that, too. Look for a plant that looks like it doesn't have any spots on the leaves or maybe chewed sections of the leaves, damaged sections of the leaves. Try to choose them too. Look for a plant that's not root bound. I know it's going to be hard to tell by just looking at it. Once in a while, though, you can tip one upside down and kind of shake it out of its container. And if all you see is a mass of white roots, that might be a little root bound. Some plants, it doesn't matter. You can break up those roots and then plant it and they'll spread right out. Some plants really don't like their roots disturbed, like the tomato plant.
So
that also going to lead me to, they don't like their roots disturbed. So when you do plant a tomato and it's growing on and all of a sudden a bunch of weeds start to grow around the base of the plant, don't take your rototiller and till around there to destroy the weeds or your hoe to dig them out, because you will damage the roots, and tomatoes really don't like their roots being disturbed. A lot of other plants, it really doesn't matter. But the tomato plant, it does bother them.
Okay.
So in that case, you may have to bend down and pull them out one by one.
That's okay, though.
Or, or better yet, because I'm a lazy gardener, I've discovered some of these ways, especially around the tomato plant. Now, you can't do this with every plant. Starts to grow a few weeds there, I can throw some mulch over the top or some straw, old grass clippings, chopped up leaves. That smothers the weed and helps the plant all at the same time.
Okay.
And that way I don't have to crawl around pulling weeds out. Now, you got to do it while the weeds are still small. You can't let a weed be 6 inches tall and expect to smother it, because it probably won't happen.
Can I tell you that my mom used to like pulling weeds, because she would take all her frustrations from the day out by just pulling weeds?
Well, now, why did she have frustrations? Weeds. Were you a bad kid?
No, not me. My brother and sister.
Oh, yeah, your brother. Sure.
Anyway, go ahead, Bob.
Okay. So that's a way to take care of the weeds around your tomato plant. All the rest of the plants in the garden, you know, if you want to hoe around them or till around them, that's okay. Just don't get too close to the plant. Because you can disturb the roots, but the tomato, don't disturb the roots at all there.
Okay.
And I talked about the soil. So also, with this rain, and I talked about this in years past, we can use the rain to spot any drainage problems we may have. If after a rain, there's still puddles for 24 hours, there's a drainage problem there.
Okay.
So, be prepared to correct it. Now, there's a lot of ways you can correct it, and one way is punching a bunch of holes in the ground. That's one way. Other ways are ditching or sloping. So be aware of that and take advantage of the rains to spot any drainage problems, especially if you've got a flower bed or a vegetable garden that's in the ground and puddles start to occur there and don't go away. It's probably going to start to damage the plants, or the plants won't become what they could be.
Okay.
So take care of those drainage problems by watching what the rain has done.
Okay. If you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372. That's 368-WESB. You can go to Facebook, B107-5WESB Facebook page. You can ask a question there, or you can go to or send an email to garden@wesb.com. And you can even send a picture there so Bob knows exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, and there's lots of ways to get a hold of Bob if you have a question about anything he talked about or anything new that he hasn't talked about yet. So he's here for you.
Yeah, you bet.
And he loves to answer questions.
Yeah, yes, I do. It benefits me, too, because it keeps me sharp. keeps me thinking about plants so I don't lose it. We've taken care of the soil. We've taken care of the drainage. We've picked out a good plant. I told you last week how to plant them. Most plants, you don't want to bury them. Tomato plants, different. You can bury it. You should bury it. It's going to be very beneficial to it. We've put a pollinator plant in there. That's key. That really is key. We got to have that in there. We talked about when you can prune back your azalea.
Yes.
And now that's going to include, I want to go a little bit further with that lady's question. I said, immediately after it's done blooming, you have a 4 to 6 week period. Try to keep it within 4 weeks, really. After a plant is done blooming, it takes a rest for a few weeks. Then it'll start, these are the spring blooming plants, like the azalea, rhododendron, forsythia, lilac, all those plants that bloom in the spring. They take that little rest. Then after a few weeks of rest, they'll start growing again and developing next year's flowers. So if you prune too late, you're pruning off next year's flowers. Okay. Now, that's not going to harm the plant. Even if you went and say her azalea is blooming right now and she wanted to prune it because maybe she's going to go away for a month or two, she can still do it. It's not going to harm the plant. All you're going to do is lose the blossoms.
Okay.
And take away a little food for those pollinators. But the best time is right after they're done blooming. Anything in the spring, that's the spring bloomers. Right after they're done blooming, while they're taking their rest, then they have time to build the blossoms for next year and put on the show again. Now, also, it can be a good idea with a lot of those spring bloomers, like the azalea and the rhododendron, because wherever you make that pruning cut, possibly 2 to 3 more branches are going to grow out of that the area. So it can tend to make them look a little thicker and produce more leaves. And the more leaves on a plant, the more food will get to the roots, the healthier the plant will be, and the more blossoms there'll be next year. So it can be very beneficial to prune those spring bloomers. You don't have to do it every year, but once in a while, once every couple years maybe, just a quick little pruning makes it real easy. Now, if you wait 10 or 15 years, it's a little harder. but it still can be done.
Okay.
And you still may have to, and not still, but then you may have to remove a little more than what you thought. I'll go to the rhododendron.
Before you do that, we have a question from Facebook. Dan says he didn't direct sow his green beans this year. He started them inside. They have their first set of true leaves. How long will it take to acclimate them to the outside weather?
Oh, this time of year, I'd just plant them right out right now. But if you don't feel safe with that, then a few days of putting them out in the daytime, bringing them in through the night, then they'll be ready to go out. But myself, I would just plant them out since they have their seed leaves and now their first true leaves. I wouldn't be afraid to plant them right out directly because we're not going to have a real hot, sunny day in the forecast here. So
right.
These cloudy days are ideal for planting new plants.
Okay. All right, Dan. Well, good luck with your green beans.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a little break here and hear from our friends from Worth W. Smith, and we will be right back. But if you have a question, remember, you can call Bob at 368-9372-368-WESB. Or you can send us an email at garden@wesb.com. We'll be right back.
Give your lawn a healthy head start with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. You'll find varieties of grass seeds for every use, plus 10-10-10 fertilizers, mulches, and limes. And don't forget the seed spreaders, handheld sizes for the small jobs, and push models for the bigger ones. You'll also find a nice selection of garden seeds, patio blocks, and railroad ties. Ready for a new mower? See Worth Smith for a great deal on a new Toro mower. If you need it for spring, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show with Bob Harris. And if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372-368-WESB. Or you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com. So you want to talk more about seeds, Bob?
Yeah. Since that question came up, a lot of people will be what we call direct sowing, planting seeds right in the garden. And now this is where, and I've mentioned before about patience in the garden. Some seeds, like beans and peas.
By the way, Dan said he's going out to plant his beans right now.
All right. Good going. This is the perfect time.
Okay.
Especially beans and seeds. Beans and peas, I mean. You're going to plant the seed in your garden. Now, you're going to learn patience because it's going to take you about 14 days before you see those seeds start to emerge. Okay. So don't lose faith, you know. a lot of the seeds are going to be that way. Most of them are going to take 7 to 14 days to start to poke through the soil. So unless you see where you've planted it, that the soil is kind of disturbed, that may have been a chipmunk or a squirrel knowing that you just planted seeds and they got in there and dug them out.
Okay.
So otherwise, you can wait. Or another way I like to do is I plant my seeds, wet that area, and then I may just take a board or something that I can just lay over it so that chipmunks and squirrels and birds can't get to that seed, and the sun can't dry the soil out. This is important, too. Once you plant a seed in the soil and water it in, you can't let it dry out.
Okay.
Because that'll ruin it in a hurry. So a lot of times I'll just put a board over that row of seeds I just put down. Now the sun can't hit that area. The board holds in that dampness for a long period of time. And every few days I'll lift the board to see if any seed is starting to poke through the ground. If it is, then I pull the board off and leave it off. Okay. If it isn't, I'll put the board back and wait a few more days. They'll be fine. They'll hit that board or whatever you've placed over it. A piece of cardboard, plastic, whatever you want to use, they'll hit that and just bend. It won't damage them. That will still allow them to germinate. And then once you remove that board, they'll straighten right up and grow right. So that's a hint on planting seeds right directly in the garden.
Okay. I never heard the board thing before.
But we have to be aware of, because we do live in the forest here.
Yes.
We have to be aware of the squirrels. They know, or they can smell, and the birds, that there's a seed underground. And most of our seeds, we're only going to be planting an inch deep. We're not going to be planting anything deeper than that. So it's easy for them to find.
Okay. We need to talk about pollinators some more. I wish we had more time to do it, because they're coming back a little bit, don't you think?
What?
The bees.
The bees? From what I see, yes.
Okay. But just a little bit.
But a little bit, yeah. Yeah.
I was taking a walk. I was in Veterans Square last week, and I was so happy that there was a little bee on one of those pretty red bushes down there.
Oh, all right.
Well, actually, there were two bees. I was very, very happy to see them. So, speaking of gardens and stuff, I just want to mention one thing. Bob knows this lady who passed away last week and how beautiful her garden was. And I figured this was a good time to give a shout out to Sandy O'Brien's family and people who just loved going to visit her garden.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
She, Sandy, of course, and her husband Dan gave a lot of people in this town enjoyment.
They did. And I thought this would be the perfect place just to acknowledge that and offer our condolences to her family. So Dan, Tom, Tim, Susan, Dan, our condolences. And That's kind of a sad note, but think about the garden, of Sandy and Dan's garden, and that'll bring you joy. So we will be back here next week. And during the week, too, if you have a question for Bob, you can still send it to garden@wesb.com all week long, and Bob will answer it next Saturday.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Have a great Memorial. Wait, we're gonna take this call anyway, even though we're out of time. Good morning. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
I have some rare colored true lily bulbs, and I don't have the least idea of when or how to plant these.
You don't know what kind of lilies they are?
It says B-O-N-S-A-I.
Ah, okay. And they're big white bulbs?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to want to plant them in a well-drained area, especially in the winter, area that doesn't hold water through the winter, about 6 inches deep, and you can plant them now. The sooner the better.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I had to wait till fall.
No. Lily bulbs you want to plant in the spring. Tulip bulbs you'll want to plant in the fall.
Okay.
So, yeah, get out there and dig yourself some holes.
Okay. I plan on it.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Okay, we'll see you all next week.